I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in
jail. Coming
on. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads here on WPFW, 89.3 FM on your dial. You can punch that up if you have an iPhone, and you can reach us anywhere in the world to listen to Crossroads. We want to thank you for tuning in. This is our regular Tuesday morning show. And joining me is my beautiful wife, as always, is Mertine, and our distinguished co-host and attorney, Nikeche Taifa. Good morning. And we are joined by Liz Coleman from the Citizen Project. But before we start, we always open up with what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use. The grapevine. Hello, Grapevine. Are you there? Mike, are you there?
Well, let me go through the grapevine.
You want to sing it this morning, Nikeche? You sound so good. You can sing the grapevine. Okay, here we go with the grapevine. Oklahoma Department of Corrections deploys drones to decrease contraband. Earlier this month, the Oklahoma Department of Corrections initiated a pilot program using drone technology to provide continuous aerial coverage and enhance security at its Red Rock Correctional Center in Lawson, Oklahoma. The program is intended to target the smuggling of contraband such as drugs, cell phones, and weapons into the facility, which can be dropped behind prison walls by undetected drones. By integrating drone technology into our operations, we're safeguarding our staff, inmates, and the public from the threats imposed by contraband smuggling. ODC says that this drone surveillance is part of a comprehensive plan to improve safety protocols at Red Rock Correctional Center and potentially at other facilities statewide. Boy, this technology is getting too much. Allegations of employee misconduct in federal prisons are on the rise. What's being done about it? Correction officers and other prison employees are responsible for keeping people in prison safe, including from other inmates or from self-harm. But what happens when these employees are the ones causing the harm? Each year, the Federal Bureau of Prisons receive thousands of employee misconduct allegations, and allegations are on the rise. These range from minor issues like unexcused absences to major incidents like abuse. Jury awards $42 million in death of inmate at private jail in Louisiana. Eric Moore, a retired mill worker and father of three, died in 2015, a month after guards slammed him headfirst to the floor at the Richwood Correctional Center. A federal jury this week found a private company that runs detention centers liable for the 2015 death of an inmate in Louisiana and awarded the man's family $42.75 million in damages. A lawyer for the family of the man, Eric Moore, called the judgment the largest against a private correction company in the United States and the largest civil rights verdict ever in Louisiana. Mr. Moore, 57-year-old retired mill worker and father of three, died at a hospital on November 14, 2015, a month after guards slammed him headfirst to the floor at the Richwood Correctional Center, a detention center in Richwood, Louisiana, that was owned and operated by LaSalle Management Company, his family lawyer said. Why is Trump giving Argentina $20 billion lifeline to help his failing economy? This week, the Trump administration authorized $20 billion financial lifeline for Argentina as it faces a deepening economic crisis. But the justification of the deal has raised major questions and criticism. What about a lifeline to us in this city, in this country? They're cutting off food stamps as of next Friday, the 1st of November. 40 million people will be cut off of food stamps. That's a lifeline that we should keep, Mr. President. Please take that $20 billion back from Argentina and give it back to us. We need it here at home. Charity begins at home. Or have you heard that? All right, here we go. Multitudes are caged for failure to pay child support, driving mass incarceration. Most people in the United States who are incarcerated for failure to pay child support didn't commit a crime like he did in them days in his struggle with a bill they found overwhelming. The number of such cases is not exactly known because child support enforcement cases usually fall under civil rather than criminal law. They are not often tracked by law enforcement agencies, but the number of parents who end up behind bars for non-payment of support certainly dwarfs a biblical multitude, translated from the Greek word for 10,000, and may well exceed 100,000. That represents a significant fraction of the more than 2 million people caged in the country, making non-payment of a child support bill a significant driver of our mass incarceration problem. But most of those incarcerated for non-support are held in jails, so they are excluded from prison counts. In 2019, Buchanan County, Missouri alone filed 149 felony and 214 misdemeanor non-support cases. But the problem is not just in the South. Two New Jersey counties incarcerated 1,800 people for owing back child support in 2013. Illinois incarcerated 2,400 to 3,300 for non-support of child payment each year. Cuban man deported from U.S. to Eswatini goes on hunger strike in prison. A Cuban man deported by the Trump administration to the southern African country of Eswatini, which is used to be called Swaziland, has started a hunger strike against his detention there. Roberto Del Pereira was among five third-party nationals deported from the U.S. to Eswatini, formerly Swaziland, in July. They have been held in a maximum security prison along with 10 other deported in October after a broader ramp-up in third-country removals under the U.S. president's immigration crackdown. U.S. officials have said the man deported to Swaziland are convicted criminals. Their lawyers say all of them had finished serving their sentences in the U.S. and that there was no legal basis to imprison them again. A spokesperson for Eswatini and Correctional Services Department had no immediate comment, but said he would review the information. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Now, our topic for this morning is D.C. crime bills are hurting our youth. D.C. crime bills are hurting our youth, or the impact of the D.C. crime bills pending in Congress and its effect or impact on the citizenry of Washington, D.C. And we have none other than a renowned authority on this subject. Our guest name is Liz Comeau, an advocate for an end to extreme sentencing in the state and federal criminal legal system by supporting the work of the Sentencing Project's campaign to end life imprisonment, leading federal advocacy efforts and managing amicus litigation activities. Excuse me. Her priorities include promoting sentencing second chances, ending life without parole sentences, and capping maximum sentences at 20 years. Prior to joining the Sentencing Project, Ms. Comeau was a director of strategic initiatives and a member of the leadership team at Fair and Just Prosecution, where she led the prosecutorial reform policies work across a wide array of areas. Comeau also served as an assistant district attorney in Kings County, Brooklyn, New York, and as an attorney advisor in the U.S. Department of Justice Executive Office for Immigration Review. Boy, you got a big background there, Elizabeth. You're some mess, aren't you? We're fortunate to have you on here this morning. Thank you.
I just got to say, hey, Liz. Back a long way. Back in the day when I was in the trenches, and you're still in the trenches, so good to have you on part of Crossroads.
And y'all know each other in the kitchen?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know everybody. You know everybody in the kitchen. Every time we get a guest, you come up and say, "This is my friend." We got to clear everything with you now in the kitchen. Thank you. Good morning, Liz, and thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Well, good morning, and I'm honored to be here. Yeah, I'm not all that fancy. very long-winded bio, but thank you so much for taking the time to speak about these bills that are really threatening the community and safety here in DC. It's a concerning time when Congress is really considering overhauling decades of reforms that folks have fought so hard for here in the district. And this is moving very fast on the Hill, but there are ways that people can push back. And so I'm excited to dig into this with you.
There are four bills currently in the Senate, in the Congress, rather, that impacts D.C. Which ones do you think you say we need to do some pushback? List the top one and two that we need to get some pushback on. We need pushback on all four of them.
Yeah.
But which ones do you think are the priorities that we need to move on first and second?
Yeah, just for context, this is part of a slate of 13 bills that would overhaul D.C.'s not just criminal legal system, but also D.C.'s education system, policing. So I'm here to talk to you about the sentencing bills, and it'd be great to push back on all four of these sentencing bills. All four of them are at significant risk of passing, unfortunately.
Wow.
So just to recap what they would do, one of them would impose very significant new mandatory minimums in D.C., including a mandatory minimum of life without parole for first-degree murder for everyone, including minors.
And that's unconstitutional.
Yeah, but there's no carve-out in the bill. And then one would lower the age at which kids can be charged as adults down to 14.
Oh, that's crazy.
It wouldn't just apply to violent offenses because of some parts of the bill that apply to predicate offenses. So it would apply very broadly, and that's in the context of, having a pretty aggressive federal prosecutor who would like to charge a lot of kids as adults. We also have the DC Crimes Act, which would roll back the ways in which young adults can currently receive more lenient sentences. So these are folks charged as adults who right now have access to sometimes more discretion and opportunities to seal their sentences. It would severely restrict that. And then finally, it would perhaps most devastatingly totally repeal the Incarceration Reduction Amendment Act, DC's Second Looked Act, which I think your guests have probably heard from recipients of before. This is the bill that has brought many folks home.
People
who received long sentences as teens or young adults who have come back to the community are often doing incredibly well, who are working as violence interrupters or leaders of the community now. It would end IRA. And that'd be devastating. Would also end DC's Second Chance Amendment Act, DC's record sealing law.
Okay.
This is outrageous. This is just absolutely and completely outrageous. And in an environment where pardons are just given out to people who just have big bucks in order to be able to pay for them.
That's right.
They must not stand for this. Roach, I know you have had so many people on the show who have been recipients of the IRA. It's just mind-boggling that we're going around full circle back to the old days. You know what I'm saying?
So what kind of pushback can we do? Because as you just said, both of you, these are some terrible, terrible times. And D.C. leads the nation in the number of incarceration and for youth being locked up and getting impossible sentences. We lead the nation. In other words, we lead the world in locking people up in Washington, D.C., giving them impossible sentences and sending them thousands of miles from home. And now they're coming with four bills to remove, erase, and rescind these advances that have been made through the years. Like you said, Nikisha, we've had several people on our show who are recipients of the IRA Act. They went on, they working at universities. One guy was, is running an amazing company, hiring 20, 30 people. They doing all kinds of phenomenal things. And now all these advances are being rolled back. Why? What do we see? Why?
I mean, I think the why is that this is beginning in D.C. because Congress can easily legislate directly on D.C., but this isn't going to stop in D.C. Mm-hmm. I think we have already seen the National Guard deployed to other blue cities with black mayors. You know, this is part of a bigger story about federal overreach, about the role of law enforcement being used to create a narrative that is all really about control. This isn't really about
control. Yes. Yes. Safer.
If we were serious about safety here, we wouldn't be you know, trying to pass bills like this that we know will actually harm communities because, for instance, charging kids as adults makes them more likely to reoffend. So if this was serious about safety, you know, these bills wouldn't be the bills that we'd be considering. This is about control. And it's starting in D.C. because that's where it's easy for Congress to start. But it's not going to end there. So what can folks do? Well, you know, for people outside D.C., this is a reminder that Washingtonians, unfortunately, don't have representation. So that's why it's really important for people outside the district to weigh in. And we can block these bills. We have the
How can we block the bill? What can we do?
This depends on just a few moderate Democrats in the Senate. So if folks reach out to their representatives, particularly their senators, and say that we want hands off D.C., we want you to not vote for any bills that would change D.C.'s criminal justice system, that can make a really big difference. Because if people, you know, aren't aware that their constituents care about D.C., then, you know, it's hard for them to see what the point is in pushing back against crime bills.
You know, I've been, every time we turn around, we see there's another piece of legislation designed to incarcerate, penalize, or criminalize our youth. And you're talking about taking kids 14 years old. We got a friend who went in at 17. He did 57 years. He went in at 17 years old. Now he's out. And they asked him, he's in his 70s, he's 73 years old, and his parole officer, supervisor officer asked, what are your employment opportunities? He's 72 years old, never had a job in his life. How can he get a job doing what? So this kind of situation is all over the country. We know this bill's coming down to target youth, black youth. And something got to be done. And I'm glad you said that you need to, for folks outside of D.C., need to contact their congresspersons, senators, representatives to see what they can do to stop this thing of taking hands off of D.C. Because I see too many kids, their mothers, their grandmothers, they call Martine and I, and we'd be on the phone all night with somebody crying because their son got 200 years or 500 years, and they're 15 and 16 years old. And of course, they're all black and brown. This is a... I don't know what to say except what we're saying. All we can do is bring these stories to you and let the public make a decision and get involved, because we can't get involved actively no more than what we're doing. Nikichi, how do you, you all over the country, you go out of the country, you everywhere, and she's knowledgeable about these particular topics. What's your take on this, Nikichi, on this? Is there assault on our black kids?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely and complete. You know, D.C. has been a front runner in terms of criminal legal system reform. And the sentencing project that Liz Komar is a part of was a major catalyst in helping, you know, make that happen on the federal level and on the local level as well. And we're seeing the rollback of all of those advances. And like I said, you've had many of these people on Clinton Lacey, you know, with the credible messengers, all of the great things that have come out of D.C. that have been modeled by other jurisdictions. And again, what Liz is saying, the primary reason why D.C. is being targeted and being targeted first is because we are not free in D.C. We must free D.C. We do not determine our own laws. You know, we don't have anyone with power to be able to speak for us on the federal level. And that must change. And things were beginning to turn around seriously and completely. And that's when we see the backtrack that's going on right now.
One of the things I'm concerned about is about these curfews and this strong sentences for Safer DC Streets Act. What's your take on this, Liz? What are the highlights or the danger points in this strong sentences for Safer DC Streets Act? Because this is targeting our youth particularly, isn't it?
And can I just say, before Liz responds, I just want to take a moment right now because we're at our pitch time, because this is what it's all about. This is why we can bring people like Liz onto these airways to talk about these things, because of this radio show, this radio station, this powerful station, WPFW. I want to put out that phone number right now so we can get these lines jumping. 202-588-9739. And loads of people listen all over the country and all over the world as well. So you can call 1-800-222-9739. Make your voices heard. We want to be able to thank you on the air. You can pledge anytime also at WPFW.org. You know, Roach and Martine, I was just at a Ceasefire Don't Smoke the Brothers big gala, and there were formerly incarcerated people from D.C. All of, there were so many people there. I mean, it was just very inspiring to see, and the impact that this radio station has had with respect to the incarcerated and formerly incarcerated community. It's an impact that really needs to go down in history, and it's all because of you, Roach. Roach is a volunteer. He doesn't get paid for any of this. Martine is a volunteer. I'm a volunteer, you know, but it is the radio station that we love so much that must, that must survive. So again, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Cash App, $ WPFW FM, Revolutionary Radio for Revolutionary Times. Please donate generously during this time, because just as the music has sustained the movement, you have sustained WPFW, and we need you to keep on sustaining WPFW. So back to you, Roach and Martine.
I want to thank you, because right last week our goal is $600 for our show, and we at the last minute of last week we got the whole thing except minus $35. So, folks, you're listening, you're tuning in, and this is one of the few radio stations that you can listen to that's not supported by sponsorship or big corporate dollars. So we'll have the freedom and luxury to speak our mind, as we said before, with no jiggy boogie. You don't get no jiggy boogie on this show what we bring to. We try to bring you the real deal, McNeil, so you can make your own decisions. We don't tell you what to do or what not to do. We just share the information so you can take that and make your own decision and determination. So in order for us to stay on the air and bring you these kind of shows, we need your help to stay on the air. So please pick up the phone and make a donation. And the numbers to call is 202-588-9739. Or you can go online, WPFWFM.org, and make a contribution. You can call and contribute to Crossroads.
And Roach, you can also be a sustainer for just $10 or more a month. You don't even have to do anything. It'll just be automatically deducted from your credit or your debit card. That's the cost of just one lunch a month. There's so many ways that you can support this station. So I had to stick that in. Back to you, Roach. Yes.
You're the first person I ever see made a pitch, and you just laugh while you're pitching.
Because I love it so much. I love this radio station so very much. How can you do anything other than smile and laugh and be happy, because you know you're helping to support something that's supporting the community.
And it really warms our heart when we have guests like Liz Komar from the Citizen Project. They've been on our guest show for the last 15, 16 years. We always had people from the Citizen Project, and you're one of the resources that we go to, and you're our resource this morning. So Liz Komar, I want to thank you for joining us, but also we want to stay on this thing about what can we do with these bills. You say it's 13 bills coming down, but four dealing with the Citizen Project. particularly.
Like these main bills, the Strong Sentences for Safer D.C. Streets Act, D.C.'s Incarceration Reduction Amendment Act, Second Chance Amendment Act, D.C. Crimes Act, District of Columbia Juvenile Sentencing Reform Act. How can we get involved and make a difference? You're saying we need to contact outside congressmen and senators since D.C. doesn't have a space.
Yeah,
what do we do?
So for folks in D.C., plugging into Free D.C. is a great way to get involved.
Free D.C., what is Free D.C.?
Free D.C. is a local organization that's working across all of the bills that are attacking D.C., including these criminal justice bills. And they're regularly, going to the Hill and talking to legislators about them. You can also, for folks in D.C., if they join the Sentencing Project's email list, we are sending out alerts for folks in D.C. Those will generally be for when these bills hit the Senate. Then we'll send out an alert for how folks can call key offices. But if folks want to be going to the Hill right now, the way to do that is probably with Free D.C. In terms of just some of the details of these bills, I know you asked that right before, talking about fundraising. The Strong Sentences for Safer D.C. Streets Act is a mandatory minimum bill at its core. And I know a lot of folks here know the legacy of mandatory minimums and why they don't work. We've learned that over the 80s and 90s. And the research is also really clear. Mandatory minimums don't make us safer. And that's because lengthening sentences Yes. doesn't make us safer. Ultimately, what tends to deter folks from committing crime is how much they think that they're going to be caught, not how long they think that they're going to be in prison. And so mandatory minimums, all they do is tear apart families and communities, Yes. make Yeah. plea bargaining more coercive, and take away discretion from judges and deepen racial disparities. And so this bill just raises the mandatory minimums, creates new ones for crimes in D.C., including for offenses that are disproportionately committed by young people, like unarmed carjacking. It raises from a mandatory minimum of 7 years to 10 years, armed carjacking from 15 years to 20 years.
Wow.
It's crazy, right? These are children.
I mean,
they're not even developed.
Go ahead, Liz, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is for the adult justice system, but these can still be young adults. And combined with the bill that would take away the Youth Rehabilitation Act, that's taking a lot of discretion out of judges' hands.
You're talking about, I just heard you mention, they're talking about the Youth Correctional Act. They're talking about eliminating that or taking that out?
There's a bill, the D.C. Crimes Act, that would reduce the age at which the Youth Rehabilitation Act applies. Right now, it applies up to somebody's 25th birthday, and so it would lower the age down to under 18.
Wow.
That help to keep the youth off of the street and help to give them hope and skills. Those programs are all being taken away.
You know, I was sentenced under the Youth Correction Act back in the 60s, and I was sent to the youth center. And supposedly, the act was supposedly designed to give you an opportunity, young man, to learn a trade or skill and come back out. And the gentleman who started this show, Crossroads, George Archer Childs, who passed away, he started this program 18 years ago. And we were in Lawton on a TV show, and he said, and the question was raised to Archie about rehabilitation and getting your life together. He said, well, that's not the thing. You're sent to prison to be rehabilitated, but that's not the issue. Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren said in the 60s that you're sent to prison as punishment, not to be punished. And by taking the Juvenile Youth Correctional Act away, it allowed us and the young men from Washington, D.C. In fact, my whole neighborhood was inside the institution. We were 18, 19 years old. We got 6 years, and you do 18 months or 2 years if you keep your nose clean. So it was like a rite of passage to go through the Youth Correction Act. But it gave a guy a chance to get his life together. Now, if you eliminate this and you reduce your ages that you can take men and young boys to trial, Liz, I see men every week coming out crying, paralyzed, disabled, blind, no families, nobody to turn to. And he did 30, 40, 50 years in prison and he dumped on the street.
Yep.
With no help and no support. Now you're talking about increasing that number, lowering the number to juveniles. And when I was read about how they can impose these curfews unilaterally, they can select this corner that you can't hang on. You've been hanging on there for 10, 15, 20 years. You can't go to the country club because it costs too much money. And we don't have $100,000 to join a country club. We don't have $10,000 all year for your family. So these kind of economic disparities, it plays a big part in creating crime being created and our young men and women being destroyed and thrown away. Please, what I'm so glad that you are here, Liz, and somebody like you is fighting on all four fronts. When I read that you were a former prosecutor, so that means you understand both aspects of this criminal from the defense perspective as well as from the prosecutorial perspective. Lady, we need what you just said. We need folk the right to call, to get involved, because you're talking about our tomorrows. Our youth are our tomorrows, and you're talking about locking up our tomorrows today. And how do we do this to get these kids involved? What bill do you think is the most crazy, asinine, the meanest, one of the most unfair and unrealistic that they should just put in the trash can?
I don't know if she can pick and choose like that, but let me give an answer to that because they all are bad. They all are in that trash can. Boy, Liz, I'm curious on that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard toss-up. I can tell you what ones I think are at most risk of passing because two of these have already made it out of the House. And so thankfully, because of a lot of advocacy that already occurred, the bill that would lower the age at which kids can be tried as adults, it did still pass out of the House, but with only 8 votes from Democrats. That's not good, but it could be much worse.
Wow.
And so that's at a lower risk of passing in the Senate than the DC Crimes Act, which made it out of the House with a lot more votes from Democrats. And the bill to repeal IRA, the Strong Sentences for DC's Safer DC Streets Act, the Mandatory Minimum Bill, those haven't been through the House yet. They've been marked up in committee. I think both of those are at a pretty high risk of passing. And so I'm concerned about all of these. I think the bill to repeal IRA, the bill to lower the age at which kids are charged as adults in the mandatory minimum bill would have like particularly large, devastating effects, but they're all really bad, particularly when combined together. Because when you do things like impose a new mandatory minimum bill and lower the age at which kids can be charged as adults, you know, the combined effect of those, you have children being charged with very high mandatory minimums, is very devastating.
And what is the point of this? I mean, we know racism and we know everything is so devastating, but really what is the point of just ruining people's lives instead of helping people's lives?
I mean, what has ever been the point of demonizing 14-year-old black boys,
this really hurts. I mean, sometimes I'm tired of doing this show because it hurts. It hurts in the sense that all these kids that are recipients of these laws, when they go in 20, 30, 40 years, we get the phone calls. We hear from the mothers and the grandmothers. In fact, one lady just called us the other day that said that she went all the way to Texas to see her son and drove all the way to Texas. And they told her she couldn't see him because she had on the wrong color outfit or clothes. So she had to go in town on these little communities that's close to the prison and buy an outfit to go in. Then when she went to see him, they told her he was in solitary. She couldn't see him. So she had to drive all the way back from Texas. And she hadn't seen this kid in 7 years. So this kind of insensitivity and meanness and lack of understanding about the situation. And these are kids. I was a kid. I broke the law many times as a kid. And I thought I was bad and wild and slick and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, these penalties are excessive. They are extremely extreme. No other country in the world locks up people for as long as we do, keep as long as we do, and send them all over the country where you had no contact with your family, your kids, your loved one. That devastates the family. He got 30 years, but the family got 30 years too, because they lost him. So, folk, I'm glad that you said what you said, Liz, with those folk who are listening outside of D.C., who can do something, because you can do more for help D.C. than the people in D.C. can do to help themselves. We can't help ourselves. If we pass a law in the city council, Congress has the right to overrule it or change it or rescind it or do whatever. So we need people outside of D.C. to support what it is that we need in this city. We need an elected representative in Congress and a senator and a representative, so they can speak on our behalf. Because right now, any congressman in Congress come up with a bill just to target D.C. No other state is affected, no other jurisdiction. And so we are like the kids that everybody pick on. Well, you know, everybody's picking on us. So, but with you and the Citizen Project, all the other agencies, the ACLU and them is working to fight these kind of things. And like I say, it hurts. We've been doing this for 55 years, Liz, 55 years. And we're seeing things go backwards as opposed to forward. And for them to come with that strong Citizens for Safer D.C. Street Act, that is a joke. Most of these bills are a joke.
Yes, I want to remind everyone, this is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. People, open your eyes, wake up. We all have to get involved. We see what's happening in this country, and this kind of specific targeting in D.C. of our black and brown children. We got to fight, y'all. We got to fight. Yeah.
Alrighty. So your agency, the Citizen Project, what role does the Citizen Project play on these bills, Liz?
So just for background for folks, the Sentencing Project is a 30-year-old research and advocacy organization. We focus on evidence-based sentencing reform. So the sentencing reforms that work, that make people safer. And so we're always involved in talking to Congress about sentencing laws that are rooted in evidence, and that will strengthen communities. And so that's what we're doing here. And we also often talk to the DC Council as well. And so we're playing the role that we usually play. But with so much at stake here, we're thrilled to work with a lot of local DC organizations who have been a part of getting these laws passed and working with a lot of IRA recipients who are friends of TSP.
And Sentencing Project is a long distance runner. I mean, I remember Mark Maurer. I remember Malcolm Young. Those were back in the early days of the Sentencing Project, you know, pounding the paper. Now, Kara Gotch and Nicole Porter and you, Liz, and William Underwood, I think he's still there in some kind of advisory capacity, and many, many others. You all really have been on the front lines of criminal legal system reform nationally, and the impact that it's had on D.C. has been incredible. And I think it's been more than 30 years. Maybe it's been 30 years. I don't know.
You ain't that old, Nikichi.
Shoot. I wish. But you know, I just want to say, as we're taking this call, I just want to thank Tony Cheeks from Bryan Road, Maryland, for jumping us off with the first very nice donation. People need to come on and follow the example that Tony Cheeks has given in terms of donating to WPFW FM Radio. Martine, did you know that it costs more than $150,000 a month to run this listener station? But only 8% of the listening audience are financial contributors to WPFW. Only 8%. And, you know, in $150,000 a month, more than that to run this, we need to increase that percentage. We need more than 8% of the listening audience to be financial contributors. Come on, pick up that phone, y'all. Pick up that phone and dial 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. You know, we need to invest in this station, which has invested in the community. We need to invest and what supports your heart and your soul, and these issues dealing with the formerly incarcerated and the incarcerated community is an investment. So going back to you, Roach.
Thank you, Tony Cheeks. I know Tony. He used to work with the NBI. He's been one of our supporters for the last 20, 30 years. Right. It's good to know that you're still around, Tony, and for 20, 30 years, and you're still making contributions and helping us out. So that tells you something about what the show is about. Here go, guy, I've been listening 15, 20 years, and he still is a listener. We want to thank you. If anybody want to join this conversation, you can call in at 240-988.
You're giving your home number. I don't think you want people to call our home.
You see that? You see what happened? I just gave out my home phone number. Don't call that number, y'all. That's the wrong
one. Good thing you didn't
but complete. That, no, the donations are not going to you, Roach.
That's right.
You are a volunteer. You go to the WPFW-FM radio station.
See what happens when you get up early in the morning? You just get all discombobulated.
We love you, Roach. Yeah. How old are you again?
I'm 35. Plus tax, state and federal. You got to put state and federal.
It's all good, but those numbers again.
Call in number.
588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And that Cash App, $, it's WPFW, I think FM.
FM,
yes. FM, yeah. Or on the website, donate anytime, yes. Anywhere, WPFWFM.org. And be sure you scroll down to see Crossroads so that Roach and Martine can get the credit for making their goal. I know a couple of weeks ago, we surpassed the goal.
Last week,
I was on a cruise. We were very close to the goal. And come on, y'all, let's get up here and surpass the goal this week.
Yeah, and to call in, someone would like to call in and speak to Nikichi or Liz. That number is 202-588-0893. 588-0893 if you'd like to speak to our guests.
Hey, Liz, question. Do we have any support? What Congress people up on the Hill are supporting us against these four mean-spirited bills? Who's our contact and support up on the Hill?
Good question.
That is a good question. So I think we have support from a lot of the folks who are often strong champions of justice reform. We're always grateful, you know, to Senator Booker for being a strong defender of criminal justice reform. Senator Durbin, who often defends these issues in his role on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. And I think other folks who in the House to not vote for these bills, I will take as support at this point for ourselves. And also, you know, we saw some strong pushback on the floor from, you know, Representative Summer Lee. Trying to think off the top of my head of other folks who pushed back from Representative Raskin. There has been some really, really great pushback from folks, especially those who come from communities, who have lived experiences where they've seen over-criminalization in their own communities, or who come from the greater DMV and who know what the reality of DC is like. And so I'm very grateful for those champions.
We have a caller. We'd like to take our first caller. You're on the air.
Question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to say, this is Ayo. I became a sustainer last week because listening to...
You sustained us. This is my sister, Ayo.
Yes.
Thank you, Ayo. Hey, your comment.
I tune my radio into WPFW all the time because beginning with Democracy Now! That comes on at 8 o'clock, and then Voices with Vision. I think those are two programs that our listeners on Crossroads should tune into to give a further analysis of how important political education begins at home and how we don't have to have rites of passage through the prison system ever again if we educate our young people early in age through the rites of passage that teach them their history. There are many groups like Oncobia, There are rites of passage groups all over the churches everywhere, nationwide. And we must upgrade our thinking so that we understand that we can bring this horrible Trump Republican administration to its feet. We can wipe them out once we organize and become more connected to where our energy should be, where we should spend our money, who we should be boycotting, why we should understand this is a whole political thing where the Trump administration is copying off some of the other terrible administrations in other countries that have made their people suffer. And we're suffering, and we're seeing now what we got to do. We got to be super serious in these days and times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you for your comments.
Let me suggest.
We got another caller also, just to let you know, Boach.
Great.
Our next caller, you're on air. Please, question or comment. You're on air.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I apologize if this question has already been answered, but I wondered if your guests could tell us who the congresspeople responsible for these bad bills that are punishing the D.C. youth.
That's a good question.
Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead, Liz.
Sure. So.
Go ahead.
First, I just want to say that we know these bills are coming from the White House. We know that they're a strong priority of Stephen Miller and Attorney General Pierro. We know that they sent out an email to House Republicans saying that they were. And so they do come from specific Congress members, and I'm pulling those up right now. So, for instance, the mandatory minimum bill comes from Representative Andy Biggs, but I would say these bills come from the administration fundamentally. That's why there's been such a strong push to move them rapidly during a time when Congress has a lot of other things on its hands. That's why I have strong concerns that there's going to be a push to try to get them done in the Senate, even though there's almost no floor time before the end of the year, because these are a priority for the White House. So in terms of the other folks who are sponsoring these bills, let's see, pulling them up real quick. Representative Martin Donald sponsors the D.C. Crimes Act.
What's his name?
Representative Byron Donalds from Florida.
Florida.
Representative Brandon Gill from Texas sponsors the bill that would lower the age at which kids can be charged as adults.
And how can they do that? They're not even living here. And they can just determine what happens in to our black children. It's disgusting.
That's why we need to free D.C. Yes. There's another caller too, Votes, real quick.
Come on. You're on air. Question or comment, please.
Oh, the caller dropped. The caller just dropped.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I just got to say, wait, folks, come on now. I want to come here and thank some more people to join Tony Cheeks and contributing. I just want to say, you still got time, 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. There's only one WPFW. There's only one you, the listener, who's committed to keeping independent music and message available to the people. Please, IO is a sustainer. Your generosity sustains and challenges us to build a better world and to fight back against these egregious laws that Liz is talking about, and fight back one broadcast at a time. The caller is ready. Roach, just put that call on.
You're on air. Hello. Question or comment,
Hello?
Please.
Yes.
This is Nicola from West Virginia. And I would like to bring to your attention that West Virginia is being threatened by very similar laws. You might want to investigate that. But we are pretty much a colony, basically. Not nominally, but in de facto. So West Virginia is also redoing the laws that you're talking about, both for young ones, both extending sentences, and for that law of early, what is it called, to let go earlier, the second chance. Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
This is happening all over the country. Hello. You still there?
Thank you, ma'am. Calling from West Virginia. They're being affected as we are here.
You know, this is a movement that's happening all over the country. If you go down to in any juvenile court system in America, just go down and sit in a courtroom, and you see 80 to 90% of the defendants are black or brown. Very few white kids are locked up in juvenile custody. They go back home, or they get house arrest, or they go to a halfway house. But the bottom line is, our folk are being targeted, and for those people who are recipients of the IRA Act, Second Chance Act, you're out. You got your freedom. We need you to get involved, get your families, get the word out, get the message out, because just like you wanted people to help you to get out, we're doing the same thing to help other folks who we left behind. So you, the people, the listener, you have the right and the ability to do something. You can write letters, you can make phone calls, you can do whatever you have to do to make sure these laws get more transparent in what's going on. And I don't know why they keep targeting our black youth. D.C. has the highest rate of black youth being arrested, getting impossible sentences. I said this before, I had one young guy I was mentoring. He had a twin brother, and they sent him to South Dakota. He came off of Greenleaf Garden on 3rd and Maryland, 3rd Street in Southwest. And he called me and said, "Mr. Brown, what's a Native American?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He got me up in South Dakota, and I'm with Native American." He never saw an Indian. He knew nothing about Indians. He came from inner city, Washington, D.C. So our kids have been sent all over America with various cultures and different policies and procedures. And these young boys are lost. So people, we have to fight to stand up for our kids. People stood up for us. Let's stand up for them. And these four or five bills, you say it's 13 bills before dealing with the criminal justice bills, the Strong Sentencing for Safer D.C. Streets Act, the D.C. Incarceration Reduction Amendment Act, Second Chance Amendment Act, D.C. Crime Act, H.R. 4922, and the District of Columbia Juvenile Sentencing Reform Act. Well, we need sentencing reform and juvenile justice in Washington, D.C. And, and I got to say this, and we cannot go to the Supreme Court. Lord, that really turned my stomach.
Place.
The only hope that we have as prisoners inside a prison is to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is just as shady and crooked as everything else.
Last caller.
Come on, just take the last caller before I get to the Supreme Court.
Hey.
Hey.
Yes,
sir.
Okay, great show. Love what you all talking about, Roach. Want to answer one of your questions. You was like, you know, why are they targeting our children, particularly black children? When you go to court, there's a lot of black kids in there, and the Caucasian and Asian kids, and even the Latino kids. They go home, but our kids don't often. And we need to enter the conversation about the absence of the black father, and not because of the father supposedly walked away. Black fathers are being pulled away. These are young little fathers to be that are not being properly trained. So every time we have these conversations, ladies and gentlemen, about changing the laws and all of these different things, the wonderful work that you all are doing, we have to also have the conversation of where is the father and how do we restore them? Fathers are being...
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Did your call drop?
Stolen, removed, and taken away by these senators. Are you here?
Say that. Repeat that. We didn't get it.
Yeah. No, I was saying that those same judges, that are sentencing our children, are the same judges that are taking away fathers. Okay. Circuit court judges hear family cases, and they hear criminal cases too. So we have to have that conversation. Every time we're talking about changing laws or whatever we're talking about, we have to have that movement of putting the fathers back, because most people who are in jail grew up in a single parent household, and most of those households were moms. We have to have that conversation. I want to challenge us to stay there with it and make that happen. Thank you.
And I want you all to remember change.org, colorofchange.org. Start a petition. It matters. What is on your nerves, start a petition. We got to fight.
Okay, thank you. Liz Comer, we want to say thank you to Liz Comer, attorney for the Citizen Project. You've been an enlightening guest this morning, Liz, and we will have you back.
Yes.
We want to thank you and the folks at the Citizen Project for all the work that y'all have done, is doing, and will continue to do to fight on our behalf. We want to thank you so much. To our co-host, the Keechi, thank you. And to the people listening, we still need to meet our goals. So please, we need you to make a donation and call in 202-588-9739 or online. Go to WPFWFM.org and make a donation to Crossroads to keep us on the air. And we will be having you back, Mrs. Lead Kohler, because with the field that you're fighting on, it never ends. We never, even when we get a victory, we lose, because the victory only lasts a little while. But we need folks like you to stay on the front line, and Nicole Porter and Carol Gotch. Thank you all at the Citizen Project and to our esteemed co-host, who's always a world traveler.
Yes.
We are lucky to have her this morning, to Nikichi Taif and to my wife. Thank everybody, and stay tuned for the next show, because you won't be disappointed in what's coming off the line on WPFW.org. Thank you to everybody around the world listening to our show. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street. Oh, no. What'd I do?
Support for WPFW comes in part from Friends of the Congo, a 501c3 entity that will be hosting Love Sound, an evening of soul sisters in support of WPFW and Friends of the Congo's DRC Women, Peace, and Security Center in Kinshasa. This event will be Sunday, November 2nd from 5 to 8 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street, Southwest. Performers include Navasha Dea, Liani Mataka, Janelle Gill, Sweet Honey in the Rock, and more. More information on this event is available at WPFWFM.org.
Dear WPFW family, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for your extraordinary generosity during this critical fund drive. Because of you, WPFW remains strong, an independent voice for music, culture, truth, and justice. You've secured not only our present, but our collective futures. Stay with us, keep listening, tell a friend, and if you can, become a monthly sustainer to ensure WPFW's light never dims. With deepest gratitude, thank you for keeping WPFW alive and thriving. Together, we will build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
What's it do if you're approached by the police?
We deserve to be safe in our neighborhoods.
Follow these tips to assert your rights.
If you're being stopped, detained, or arrested, the best thing to say is nothing.
Stick to only these questions. Am I free to go? If stopped by law enforcement, try to leave the conversation as quickly and safely as possible.
Ask, am I free to go?
If yes, walk away calmly and quietly. Running away could give them pretext to detain you. Officers may try an incite a reaction. Ignore them. Knowing your rights is a great first step.
And asserting your rights is even better.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Support for WPFW comes in part from Friends of the Congo, a 501c3 entity who will be hosting Love Sound, an evening of Soul Sisters in support of WPFW and the Friends of the Congo's DRC Women, Peace, and Security Center in Kinshasa. This event will take place on Sunday, November 2nd, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church at 400 I Street Southwest. Performers include Free Benjamin, Wena, Anna Mwalago, Ayana Gregory, and more. More information on this event is available at WPFWFM.org.